In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Henry Trice, real name, no gimmicks.
Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside.
Smash. We've got a bogey. I'm on the way.
Guess who's back? Back again. Shady's back.
Hey everyone, we are the West Ham Way USA podcast. I'm your co-host Tony in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. On the other side, we have Brawley in St. Louis. What's up, my man?
It's been a tough couple of weeks for us, but we've got an exciting guest this week, and I'm excited to be talking with you.
Absolutely, man. We have a fantastic episode this week. We have XWHU employee with us. We did a little interview earlier today. We also have some exciting pod news. I'm going to kick that over to you. Do you want to explain what our secret news is?
Well, basically, Bobby Madley, the ex-Premier League referee, will be joining us for another interview. The West Ham Way USA VAR consultant, you could say, because I'm sure that will be our topic of discussion for the entirety of our conversation when we interview him tomorrow. So, that's exciting for us. And we're going to put out a link for some questions to be asked to Bobby Madley. And he has graciously offered his Twitter for us to use. So it's exciting. We'll be able to ask him questions. And the fans, or the listeners, I should say, will be able to ask him questions as well.
So he actually did an episode earlier this summer, and we briefly talked about VAR and that it was coming to Premier League, but we had no idea what it would entail. Brawley absolutely hates VAR with a passion. I'm for VAR with some changes. It'll be interesting to see what Madley thinks. So I'm excited to have him, since I didn't actually get to do any of the interview last time. It'll be a fun time, and yeah.
Yeah, and I still think VAR could work now that I'm like calm myself down a little bit. I still think it can work.
You just tweeted today, VAR is ruining the game.
These offside decisions are ruining the game. They very much are. And you disagree with that?
I disagree with how it's – I agree that they're getting the correct call. I disagree with how they're going about it. Like I've said before, we'll save this for next week, but I think if it's too close to the call, it's almost like in the NFL when it stands. But we're not really doing this interview now, because that is going to be tomorrow with Bobby. We are actually going to send you over to our interview with XWHU employee with some insight on what's going on with our club.
It's his third cap on this show, but his first appearance since the name change. It's the man who's going to give it to you. It's XWHU employee. Thanks for joining the West Ham Way USA podcast, pal. How are you?
Yeah, really well, mate. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we're just glad we were able to rope you into this, considering how hectic I'm sure your phone's been the last 48 hours.
Yeah, as I was saying off air, lads, it's just my phone seems to go into a bit of a meltdown around about these times, because obviously Twitter goes into overdrive and then WhatsApp and text. So I'll put an apology out there to everyone that I haven't replied to, but it's literally impossible to do so, unfortunately.
I think we genuinely hit you at the best time to join our podcast, because interest is just in West Ham has been going down the last few weeks with just all the losses and the terrible run. We sacked the manager. Now we get the XWHU employee on the podcast, and hopefully things will just go crazy. Like you said, your Twitter. So, I mean, even our Twitter interactions just today have been incredible.
Yeah, it's a crazy time. I mean, if you'd said to me, even like at the start of the season, or even more recent than that, that we'd be discussing David Moyes as our manager for the second time, I would have been thought you were crazy and thought you Americans know nothing about soccer. but clearly, it is actually the truth. So there you go.
Boy, and breaking news, within the last 5 minutes, David Moyes has been officially confirmed as our manager. So just start us off there. Was David Moyes always the number one option since Pellegrini got sacked, or were there other options in play?
number one choice. I think even before Pellegrini had left the position, because the club liked to get a succession plan in place before they actually go through these decisions. And I think that's partially why Pellegrini probably had a bit longer in post than they may have intended, because they wanted to make sure that the solution was there. Moyes had already started to like speak to his potential backroom staff a couple of days ago, whilst Pellegrini still had the Leicester game. So the fact that he's now been appointed manager doesn't shock me too much. It shocks me, like, in the sense that, like I said, if you told me that a few months ago, then definitely. But within the last week or so, then I was pretty certain he was going to be the manager sooner or later. So here we are now.
So I will be over for the Bournemouth game. Do you think I will see David Moyes on the touchline, or do you think that'll be too early?
No, I think he will, because obviously he's meeting the players tomorrow. They've been told to get in early. He's going to do his formal introduction. I think he's even going to take training. So I'd imagine, although I don't know 100%, but I'd imagine he'll be in the dugout on Wednesday.
Real quickly, if we could go back to Pellegrini, when did you think that he would actually get the sack? I really thought that he would get at least a Bournemouth game, because, you know, it's the old one game to save your job, two games to save your job. And I thought that it seemed like Bournemouth was going to be the game that they were targeting. When did you think he would actually get the sack, if at all?
Well, I thought he should have got, my personal opinion is that he should have got the sack after the Arsenal game, after we were winning 1-0 and, like, Arsenal were playing terribly, and they still are playing terribly. But we had that game, and then we just completely threw it away. So that was when me, on a fans level, thought he needed to go. But from an actual, I guess, ITK point of view, I knew he had the Leicester game, and I thought if we did terribly in the Leicester game, then he could go before the Bournemouth game. But I actually thought we were going to get a result against Leicester, so that was why I thought he'd have the Bournemouth game. But the performance was so terrible. I was lucky enough to actually watch the game with Matty Everington. My dad couldn't make it, so I gave my season ticket to him, and I was watching the game with him. So it was really interesting that I had his perspective while I was watching, and we were looking at the body language of the players, and it was just terrible. Their heads went the minute the penalty was conceded, and then obviously they went up a little bit after it was saved, but the whole time was negative body language, really, really lack of any fight. Anderson and Lanzini particularly pulling out 50-50 challenges left, right and centre, and it just felt really negative in there. So I thought after that game and the performance, in my head I thought he's going to do well to survive this now. And then obviously they called him to the boardroom straight after the result and sacked him there.
Do you think this stemmed further than just that game, though? Or I guess my question to you is, how long do you think this atmosphere has been in the dressing room? Because I just looked on my app, you know, and I just counted the fixtures. We had 2 wins in the last 13 league fixtures. I mean, that's unacceptable. Did this negative energy really start creeping in lately, or do you think it's been that way for a while?
I think it's been creeping in for quite a while. It sort of stemmed from pretty much, and I'm not pinning the blame on him, but when Roberto came in, because it's round about then, because first of all, we realised that we had to put up with, at the time, we didn't know how good Martin was going to be. We had to put up with this keeper that was terrible. We were going to have him for a long time. And then I think that made the fans think that we were always going to struggle in most games. And it all probably rubbed off on the players as well. And then, you know, Martin came in and we managed to get a result against Chelsea and Southampton to spare him a bit of time. But I think it felt like it for a while. The players backed him up until quite recently. I'd say it's probably only the last 2 or 3 weeks where I think the players have been like, right, his time's done. Before that, I think they supported him. But I think it was the second half performances in certain matches and silly decisions, like, you know, Zabaleta being right back in the Newcastle game and some of the substitutions. And I think the fact the players were starting to think the guy doesn't really know what he's doing. You know, he played 4-4-2 against Southampton and it worked, but that was forced because Anderson pulled out last minute. Originally it was 4-5-1, so he got the credit for going 4-4-2, but it was only that because he had to go 4-4-2 because Anderson pulled out. And then I think it's just things like that, really.
Yeah, I mean, it really did seem like that the Oxford game was the start of the downfall. And it makes me wonder now, with David Moyes coming in, is he going to take the cup competition seriously? Or is it going to be like 2-3 years ago against Arsenal in the quarterfinal when the team wanted to win the game and it was the worst game of football I'd ever seen in my life? Do you think the board have instructed David Moyes to disregard the cups and just focus on the league? Or do you think Moyes will actually take the cup seriously? Or is it too early to even tell that?
Well, to be accurate, it's too early to tell. However, I would like to think that he's going to take it seriously. I mean, if he's going to turn around this fan base now, because he's starting on a really negative note already before he's even done anything, if he's going to turn around this fan base, he's got to go to Gillingham, and that will be his second game in charge, and he's got to take it seriously. If he goes there, puts a weak team out, and then we lose, the fan base is going to be at a very, very toxic level.
Yes, it will.
Two games into his era. I mean, it's already going to be toxic to start with. So I think if he's got any sense, which I would like to think he has, he would go with the strongest team for that game.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we need to be careful with is when we go to Gillingham and we don't get caught out like Wimbledon and like Oxford and take these seriously, because the easiest way to turn his start positive would be getting to the next round of that FA Cup. I think what scares me the most about Moyes is if he's already so far in the hole with this fan base, and maybe not with the players, but just with the toxic atmosphere around the club, does he even have a chance to get out?
I think he's got it very, very tough. I mean, what I would say to West Ham fans is that, you know, the appointment, I don't agree with the appointment. I think we've gone back, we've like wasted 18 months. Yep. We paid big money for a manager that's brought in some highly paid and priced players that haven't delivered. And we've gone nowhere in 18 months. I mean, appointing a manager that we deemed not good enough 18 months ago. So it's like almost a complete waste of time. So he's got a very difficult starting point. But as a fan base, what we have to do is we have to think, you know, it's not David Moyes' fault. You know, if I was to be offered the West Ham job tomorrow, I'd take it. If you two would be offered it tomorrow, you'd take it. So it's not David 100%. Moyes' fault. So we've got to support him. Because if we don't, I don't know what we're going to achieve. We're going to relegate the club. It's going to be even worse than it is. If you've got your frustrations with the board, and I understand why people would do over this appointment, then vent it at them, vent it outside the ground, but not at Moyes, because it just doesn't achieve anything, in my opinion.
Yeah, so I want to go back to the potential candidates for the job. Were there actually other candidates apart from David Moyes? Were we seeking out the likes of Kovac or Emery or Benitez or Howe or Dyche or any of these other names? Did we actually go out and try to speak with other managers? Or was David Moyes the one and only option we targeted?
We did speak to other managers. We spoke to Dyche's representatives and Howe's representatives. I know particularly Howe. I know that factually. However, it was a case of both of those managers still have a club, so you've got to pay compensation. Yeah. They then are going to demand a high wage because, you know, they've already got a job that's paying them well, so they're going to want to better that salary significantly. And they're also taking a risk coming to West Ham as opposed to quite steady jobs at Burnley and Bournemouth. So they sort of almost ruled themselves out by having a club. Kovac, I don't know whether he was spoken to or not. I don't think he was because I never heard that he was. So that makes me think he wasn't. I don't think we could have got him. And I think the board knew that. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, was managing Bayern Munich not long ago. Right. And even if we throw money at him, I don't know whether he would have taken it. And so I think that the board wouldn't have thrown money at him anyway. This is the thing. I mean, this is the thing that's coming out. This is that the board weren't prepared to put a lot of money at a new manager, so that limits your options anyway. So then you're left with the likes of Moyes, Chris Hughton, what's his name, Pulis, Sam Allardyce. And I mean, if you're looking at those, I guess
Moyes, were they targeted?
Yeah, I mean, they were spoke to, I think, or certainly Hughton was, and I think Pulis was spoken to as well. I mean, if you think of those being the alternative candidates, you put it in that respect, Moyes is the best choice. But the reason there's no other candidates is because we wouldn't spend the money to enable there to be more.
Do you think the sacking of Pellegrini will hurt the financial budget going into the January window for our reinforcements?
It shouldn't, but I think that will be used as an excuse, yeah. I think because they would have had to pay him off. I'm led to believe it was about $2 million. How accurate that is, I don't know. But I was led to believe it's about $2 million just for Pellegrini. But then obviously you've got Huzilios and all the other staff members to come into that. So a rough estimate would it be about $5 million, I guess, in total. But then that shouldn't eat into the budget. If we're gonna be going to next level and competing with the top teams, we need a budget to get out of the situation we're in. I think we need to spend at least $50 million, $60 million in January because we need so many new players. The team doesn't have any pace. You know,
none.
And it's such an important attribute in the game. So I'd be disappointed if Moyes is not back. But my concern with that is when Moyes had money, he spent it on Hugo, who sits on the QPR bench now, you know, and turned down Madison. And doesn't give me much hope. Signed Patrice Evra on however much he
was. On a free.
On a free. But on about 90 grand a week, though, whatever he was on. I don't know, mate. I think, and the thing is, we've got no other option other than to back him, so we can't get him out of the job now. So, kind of our hands are tied.
So, did Pellegrini and Huzilios have targets that they were going after in January? Is that all gone out the window? Do we have a new list of players we're targeting as Moyes come in and probably told them who he wants to target in January? I mean, where do you think we stand as far as getting players in the winter?
Moyes would have been drawing up targets in the last kind of week or so, knowing that he's probably going to get... He was very in line to get the Everton job until Ancelotti became available, so he'd obviously been thinking about it for them. And then so those targets that he was probably drawing up for them here or there will be similar to what we'll have at West Ham, and then he'll know who he wants now because he's been like watching a lot of football and been in sort of the Sky and BT studios and stuff. So he'll know who he wants and he'll watched a lot of West Ham as well. And I think, so whoever Huzilios and Pellegrini wanted, obviously that will go out the window now and it'll be the new ones, what Moyes would like. And I'm hoping that Moyes will identify players that are young, that have fight and that they have pace, because that's the three things and leadership. They're the four things that we miss at the moment.
And does now the transfer authority go back to David Sullivan, and is he probably relieved about that, or does David Moyes have the final say?
Yeah, I think David Sullivan is never ever going to be able to completely relinquish control of transfers. It's like the reason we play Football Manager. If you play it, it's like we like to buy players, improve our squad. This is just like real life Football Manager for David Sullivan.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's very hard for him to put down and watch someone else play the game, so to speak. And so he will be involved. I mean, they could potentially appoint another director of football. The fella that was at that still is at Leicester, he was the one that David Sullivan wanted all along. But Pellegrini wanted Huzilios. So maybe he would come in, possibly. But no decision, as far as I know yet, has been made on it. But I'm sure it'll be clear in the next couple of days.
I keep seeing other people and yourself saying that that Moyes was a well liked in the dressing room. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean not by everyone, because no boss in any environment is liked by every one of their employees, particularly the ones that they then go to sell or don't pick. But the majority of the sort of core, like, characters in the dressing room, so to speak, they liked David Moyes. Like, I don't think they had a problem with him. I think they liked his training. I think they thought he did a good job when he came in. So, and he had good relationships with them. I mean, you know, Declan Rice, for example, was improved significantly under Moyes. I know he's not with us anymore, but Arnautovic was a much better player under Moyes. So there were success stories on a sort of individual level under Moyes. So, yeah, that will be remembered, I think.
Yeah, the reason I bring that up is because my biggest whole scare in this whole situation, because I want to get to relegation in a little bit, but we're still talking about the manager. But I had a question for you later on that. But in the meantime, does the appointment of David Moyes uninspire or inspire, do you think, any of our skill foreign players? I guess the way I'm going with this is my biggest fear is players like Allaire or Fernals or Anderson will want to leave because of the lack of success this club has had.
I don't think they're in the position to do that at the moment, because I don't think, firstly, any of them, from my knowledge, have achieved that much in their careers to be like, you know, if they've been playing for like Real Madrid or Barcelona, sure, and they're mm-hmm. still like at that peak, and then you maybe understand it. But someone like Fernals, you know, he's young. Anderson has played for Lazio. They're not the most successful Italian team. I mean, I think they'll stick around with Moyes for the time being, but I can't imagine many of them, you know, like Anderson and Hallenaer, sat there and thought, brilliant, let's get David Moyes in. I can't imagine that was their thought process. But I think they'll stick by it for the time being. And to be honest with you, the likes of Allaire and Anderson are, if I was David Moyes, they'll be the first people that I go to and start trying to work with.
Yeah,
I
would say, 100%.
Someone like Anderson, you've got the potential to be a world-class player here, but you're not putting in a big enough shift. You're bottling challenges. I want more from you, and this is your time to prove that. And he'd be one of the first people I work with. The likes of Declan Rice and Mark Noble and Snodgrass and people like that are always going to put in a shift for whoever the manager is. It's these like flair players that need to be performing better than they are at the moment. Mm,
true.
As far as Moyes' backroom staff goes, do you think it'll be the exact same setup, or do you think there's a chance he brings in someone like James Collins or someone like that to be on his backroom staff?
Well, funny you should say that about James Collins. There was actually talk about him coming back. That's probably one of the first excuses I dropped there. However, he hasn't actually got the required coaching badges, I don't believe. So unless he came in as a voluntary basis type thing, I don't think he can. And I think there's potentially a club prepared to give him another year's playing. He's going to have a think about that.
Oh, good.
So I think he'll be off the radar, but I do believe the backroom staff will be quite similar. I know he spoke to Billy McKinley, but he's at Stoke at the moment, so he's trying to persuade him to leave. He's just joined there. I think there'll be some faces from before, but I also think they'll try and get an ex-player of West Ham's into that staff, like when they had Stuart Pearce. Whether it'll be Stuart Pearce or not, I don't know, but I think there will be at least one person that's played for the club at some point.
Do you think, how do I say this? Do you think behind the scenes there were any players who were basically demanding Pellegrini to go? Do you think it got that bad? Or do you think this was just kind of the work rate dropped and they're kind of getting annoyed with the substitution as tactics? I mean, do you think there was any campaign behind the scenes to try to get Pellegrini out? Or is this more of the case of just wait and eventually he'll go?
I'd be careful what I say here, but I think campaign's a strong word, so I wouldn't say it was quite to that level. However, I think it would be to the point where there'd been discussions probably between your senior players and the backroom staff as to how they were feeling about the current situation. And I'm led to believe the last 2-3 weeks, the tide has turned from being in support of the manager and feeling that it was a collective responsibility to actually thinking, no, he's the reason we're in this mess now. He needs to go and we need to get out of it. So I think it shifted about 2 weeks ago.
So if this is cool, everybody, I want to switch the focus, because I see a lot on Twitter, a lot of opinions saying that they hope we get relegated to hurt the board and to rebuild the club and blah, blah, blah. But I personally think that would just be absolutely detrimental to the club that's already toxically cultured right now. So I just want to know what your opinion is. you don't need to give us any specific information, but with someone who knows a lot more behind the scenes, what are your opinions on if we were to get relegated and seeing people say they want us to get relegated? Because I don't ever want West Ham to lose. I hate when even saying that they want people wanted us to lose to get rid of Pellegrini. I can't handle that. I need us to win every opportunity or give it a go every time. So if you could just give us your opinion on if we were to get relegated and or people saying that they hope we get relegated.
I'm totally on the same side as you on that one, mate. I think it's ridiculous. If West Ham was to get relegated, yes, you would. I guess it would affect the board. However, they would still own the club. They would give them less reason to sell because the club wouldn't be worth as much in the Championship. So they would think, right, we get them back to the Premier League and then we might sell. So it wouldn't do that. It would, like, the capacity, the attendance figures would reduce, like, significantly. Mm-hmm. So then you'd have an empty, half-empty stadium full of people that don't really support the club, and it would have an awful atmosphere. It would mean that we could potentially take years and years and years to get back. If you was to say, to a Leeds fan, for example, exactly, or a Nottingham Forest fan, or a Coventry fan, or the list is endless, Bolton fan, say to them, right, this is what we're thinking, get relegated for a couple of seasons, board her out, and then we'll get a new board in, then we'll get back to the Premier League and life will be so much better, they'd absolutely laugh at you, because it isn't that simple. The best thing, if people want the board to go, is for West Ham to stay in the Premier League, but is for the fans to, like, either walk out on a match at an agreed time, or to protest outside the stadium, or to, do things like that. But to wish the club to go to the Championship, it will do the opposite of what they think it will do. It won't help in any way, and it will just completely, put us... Like, to achieve that next level, if we go into the Championship, it will put us back hugely.
I think a lot of people, and I don't like to say rude things about fans, because we're all fans and we all might have different opinions, but I think a lot of people have this expectation that if we were to go down, that it would be quote as easy as when it happened last time. And if I recall correctly, because that was when I first started watching West Ham, was the year before that, the Blackpool, the relegation, and then the promotion at the playoff final, I think we only lost two or three games that entire year, and had to go through the playoff, and then had to go against Blackpool in the final on a last-minute goal. So I don't want to say that it's going to be easy, and that's why I think people aren't realizing that, we get relegated, we lose a bunch of key players and money, we'll just automatically go back up, no problems.
Yeah, exactly. And we wouldn't, because, there's other teams. Like, look at Aston Villa. When they got relegated, they were the biggest team in the Championship. They had a good squad. It took them 3-4 years before they got back up again, and they're in the relegation zone now. So they haven't, improved that much. Potentially could go down again. I just think people underestimate how easy it would be to get straight back up. And the thing is, as well, you wouldn't be able to sustain the wages of pretty much all of that squad in the Championship. You've got to think the average wage, probably, I don't know what it is like across the squad, but roughly it's probably about 60,000, 50,000, something like that. And you just cannot manage that in the Championship. Declan Rice would leave. No doubt, because he'd have so many clubs interested in him. You'd end up with most of the players ripped out, and then you'd have to start building afresh again. And I just don't think it achieves anything personally. And that, yes, I understand why people are annoyed with the board, but there's other ways to vent your frustrations, not with the club to get relegated.
All right, so I think I put out a tweet earlier on Twitter trying to get some questions for you, and I picked out a couple of ones here. So the first question here is from Billy, at WHUFC Billy, and he says, are the board aware and worried that most fans will be very angry at Moyes being given an 18th-month contract, and are they prepared for the backlash? Do you think... I know they're aware of the disdain for David Moyes, but are they prepared to deal with any protests or consequences that come along as far as the fans go for this appointment?
And they would definitely know what the feedback is on social media, because the obviously Jack is on it, David Gold's on it, both his daughters are on it, a lot of the club officials are on it, so they monitor social media all the time.
Brady's blocked everybody.
I know that they monitor social media because I often get told off for things that I say. So you know, I know they monitor it. And the thing is, so they'll know what the situation is in terms of how the fans feel. And also they've got, I'm not digging anyone out here, I'm just saying what is a fact, they've got Clara and Hugh as their, like, I don't know what the word is, their fan feeling tester site. So whenever they put polls out, they drop bits of information and then they report back what the fans' reaction is to it. So they'll know full well what the reaction is going to be. But I guess they've got to trust their judgment, and they're the people that own the club, and they're the ones that ultimately are accountable for the decision. So you can't live your appointment based upon fan opinion. But they should probably realise that it's going to be a very difficult time for them if results don't go the right way in the next few weeks.
So something I saw earlier this week, that Southampton has a massive scouting network. And then a tweet just came across when we solicited tweets for you. This is from Stats of the Way. It says, do we have a data analytics team? Seems to be a part of Leicester's success. So I guess my question to you is our scouting department and analytics significantly lower? And is there any reason why that might be?
Well, we definitely have analytics, 100%, because I know some of the people that do it. So, yeah, we definitely have that analytics people. They produce data on, things like amount of miles covered in a game, and, you know, how much possession each players have got, what the opposition's corner routines are, and things like that. So we've definitely got those. Scouting network, I couldn't tell you actually how many we've got on the book, because sometimes scouts are classified in different ways. So you have your scouts that are like permanent members of staff, where they, you know, they go out, they have an assignment every single day, and they're out watching the opposition or they're watching certain players, whereas you also have scouts that you might contact every now and again. So you might contact a scout in Africa or somewhere in Nigeria, let's say, and you might say to them, right, I want you to find, see if you've got any fast right wingers that are good at crossing the ball, and they'll go and do an assignment, or they might be freelance scouts, so to speak, and they'll sort of be looking at players, and they'll make recommendations to the club without technically being on the payroll as such. They'll get a fee for certain recommendations and so on. But what West Ham tend to do as well is they tend to go through agents. Now, I don't know how it compares to other clubs, but a lot of the players that we are interested in often come from the same agents. So the same agents recommend players, and then we will check them out, because we know if they're coming from that agent, then we're likely to be able to get a decent deal with them. Now, I don't know how that works at other clubs, but certainly that is how it works at West Ham.
Cool, thank you.
So we don't want to take up too much more of your time. You've already given us almost 40 minutes here, so we really appreciate that. And we also got a bunch more questions on Twitter, but I think most of them have already been answered. So to anyone who asked a question and didn't get read out, I just want to say thanks for sending us a question. Tony, go ahead
before I ask my question. Because we did talk a lot about Moyes, and that's what majority of these we're talking about. But I do have one more quick question about the Moyes situation now I'm reading this tweet. This is from Matt Albertson. He mentioned the length of the contract being 18 months. Did any of those details come out yet?
I think it is 18 months. Yeah, I don't know if it's been officially announced, but my understanding that it was going to be 18 months, obviously, to the end of this season, next year, and then reviewed in the summer for whether it gets extended or not. That was my understanding. Of course, whether that's changed over the course of the day, I don't know, but that was what I was told by about 3 or 4 o'clock. And then I did a tweet at about 8:45, just before I tweeted you guys. I think I tweeted broadly, and I said the announcement's going to be made at 9 o'clock, which is why I was a bit late coming on, because I wanted to see if I was right. So by about 8:45, I knew that all things had been agreed at that point. And then, as we have already established, at 9 o'clock, the announcement came.
Yeah, I can verify. I got a text from X at 8:56 p.m. Over there, or 2:56 p.m. where I am. And it said, just waiting to see if Moyes is going to be announced. I think he's going to be announced at 9 p.m. So you're definitely not a fraud, as a bunch of people seem to like to call you these days.
Yeah, if you could put that maybe as the tagline for the show, he's not a fraud, we have evidence, then I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, we could definitely do that. One thing I also wanted to talk to you about was the West Ham Way pre-match event, the event in Vegas that we, you and I, sorry Tony, you didn't get to go to that, but X and I got to party it up in Vegas together, played some horse racing gambling games, and I believe that was the game, your favorite game of the week. Can you speak about that, and what did you think of the event overall? I know it's been a few months, and I know we're going to do it again in L.A., but mm-hmm. for people who didn't get to go, what was your favorite experience from that trip of getting to hang out with me and the other guys there in Vegas?
Well, the best bit was hanging out with your dad, actually, mate. To be
fair,
I'm going to go a long way to beat that.
Before you start, I actually want to bring because I don't know if I told this on the show or not, but my dad brought two. What do you call those Mexican wrestling masks? Luchador, whatever you want to call them, masks for X. But the funny thing is you and Dave and my dad and my stepmom were walking in at the same time, and they had no idea who you were. But they started. I guess you guys had asked my dad where Blondie's was because we couldn't find it, and you guys were trying to find it together. And by recognizing you and Dave's voice, he worked out that it was you and gave you the two wrestling masks as you were walking in together and not knowing that it was you to begin with. So I just wanted to say that was hilarious and totally unplanned. And I just thought it was great seeing your reaction to getting those masks. I thought it was fantastic.
Well, no, it was brilliant. And that just sums up to me what the beauty of this event was. I mean, it was just such a laugh, and it was so good to meet so many like American fans out there that were such top blokes and ladies, but also such passionate fans as well. Like I think some people in England are maybe quite arrogantly and ignorantly dismissive of foreign fans. I just think they've jumped on the bandwagon, they've watched Green Street, and they're now West Ham fans. But actually, when you go out there and you meet like the groups that we did, and you see just how passionate they are and how knowledgeable they are, it's just like being in England. It doesn't make a difference, and it was so nice to see that. And then obviously Vegas is such an amazing place to do something like that in, so it was and to do it with such cool people as well, so it was a great event, and I cannot wait for LA. I'm probably annoying John Black now, but I keep messaging him and saying, come on mate, let's get this sorted. So yeah, hopefully details will start to emerge soon, and we can all start getting that in the diaries.
It's funny how there's so many people that are, well, I wouldn't say so many, I don't want to be disrespectful. There are a lot of people who, like you say, are arrogant, but then there's also a lot of people who are accepting. When I was at the Palace game, and I went to the West Ham Way event out in O'Neill's, and was it Leytonstone? And so many people said hello and met me and say, hey, we listen to the West Ham Way USA and we were the American West Ham podcast. And they just wanted to shake my hand and say, yo, that was pretty cool what you guys are doing and all that stuff. So for every negative one, there's at least 10 positive ones. And that was a great event to actually, that was the first time we met since I didn't get to go to Vegas. So I wanted to shout out that event. I thought that was amazing for anyone who gets to go over to England to go check out one of the West Ham Way events.
Thank you. No, it was great to meet you too, mate. And this is the thing as well. Like you said, you're right. You're right to what you said. For every negative fan, there's 100,000 that are positive and supportive. It's exactly the same with me on Twitter. I mean, the stupid thing with me is that I tend to hone in on the one or two comments out of thousands that I get a day, which will be negative, and then go for that person. But really, if I take time to sit back and reflect, I think it's literally one or two Are we allowed to swear on your podcast?
Yes, you can. Yeah, fuck, yeah. Shit, cunt, prick. Bitch, ass, prick, cunt.
Yeah, one or two pricks that just want a bit of attention. I feel like, want to feel like the big man having a go at someone on social media. But on the whole, no one's ever said it to my face. And most people are absolutely diamonds. And I'm glad that you guys experienced the same thing.
Well, X, we really appreciate you joining us. I have a list of about 50 more questions to ask you. I would really like to do this again in a couple of weeks when the transfer window really ramps up. Try to take advantage of you. And I just wanted to say, I don't want to keep you any longer. So we really appreciate you doing this for us. And if you don't mind coming back on again in a couple of weeks so we can talk about some rumors and some gossip, that way we can take advantage of you once more again.
Yeah, no, of course, lads. I always enjoy coming on, and you're both good lads. So, yeah, no problem at all.
Yep. Thank you so much.
I can't wait to listen to you and Dave. Are you guys coming back this week again?
Yeah, we're hoping to do it on Thursday. The difference is now we have to do it in, like, Dave's house. So, and he's got, like, two daughters and about 55 different pets. It's like a zoo in there. So we just have to work around those. But we're thinking it's going to be Thursday afternoon. So hopefully it'll be out either Thursday evening or Friday.
Great. Well, one last thing I wanted to say is a formal thank you for inviting us onto the West Ham Way brand. We're flattered that you thought of us as the guys to bring on to as the West Ham Way USA, as well as Scott Davis and Jeremiah, Nick, and those guys. On behalf of all of us, I just want to say thanks for giving us a chance to come on your brand and do what we do.
Mate, unquestionably the biggest talent in America as far as West Ham goes is you guys and the other fellas that you mentioned. It's not in question. There's no other competitors out there as far as I'm concerned. So get you. I always want the West Ham way to have like people that I believe have something good to offer. So it's a pleasure for me to have you guys under that name, and I'm flattered that you were prepared to change the great stuff that you've started to come under our name, and I'm hoping that the success will continue for many a year.
All right, X. Well, we won't keep you any longer. Thanks so much for your time, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks, and we'll get you on again.
Yeah, good lads. Take care.
All right. Cheers. See you soon. All right.
And a massive thanks again to X for joining us this episode. I think it was really interesting, especially there's some news that probably hasn't been out there yet, like Kovac and Emery weren't even approached. Or if they were, it was a quick turn down, and that Moyes was the number one guy from the get-go. I think that's incredibly frustrating, but doesn't surprise me at all. So thanks to him for joining us. And also, one other thing I wanted to say, I wanted to apologize about my audio this week. I had to sneak out of work for an hour and record that interview in my car with my iPhone headphones on, and now I'm recording with headphones on again as well. So next week, my quality of audio will be much better. I just wanted to say I'm sorry, and I'll be back to normal for next week.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I enjoy doing the podcast with you every week, you know, I have a great time. You're one of my best pals, and that's why I look forward to doing this pod. It's also nice to break it up and hang out with someone else. So I appreciate X joining us. That was a fun time. I will be at Bournemouth and Gillingham, if you didn't hear me say that earlier in the pod. So if you're going to either of those games, shoot me a message. My personal Twitter is TonyClark, DOOP. And Brawley will hit you with his Twitter and all of the good stuff that I mess up on every podcast. So hit us and take us on the way out, buddy.
Yep, you can follow me on Twitter at Brawley Darvin. You can follow the pod on Twitter at West Ham Way US Pod. You can also send us an email to West Ham Way USA Podcast at gmail.com. And if you guys could, please go on to iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating and review. That really helps us out, and we really appreciate it. But that's it for this week. We will be talking with Bobby Madley, ex-Premier League referee, again. He's going to be our VAR consultant, so definitely stay tuned for that. I think it will be an episode not to be missed, and I think it'll be really enjoyable. So until then, see you guys later. Irons.